What o'clock hour? What is this?
The theme from Hoosiers.
Oh.
I did not recognize
that's
that.
That's your movie.
I'm never going to watch it again.
That's your movie.
I'm never going to watch Hoosiers again in the rest of my life.
Have you ever been to Hinkle Field
This
House?
Is the theme. God, of course.
I'll be honest. I didn't know this was the theme, and I've seen Hoosiers, but it's probably been 10 years
I think this is the theme. It says theme from Hoosiers.
No, you're probably right. I haven't seen it in 10 years, so that might be why. I'm sure there's people listening say, how did we not know it? I didn't know this was the theme to Hoosiers.
Have you ever been to Hinkle Field House, Cody? Because it feels like anything associated with the movie you don't want to be a part of.
Ooh. You know, he doesn't like your basketball background.
What cool things happen there besides
Hoosiers? Well, Butler basketball does. I mean,
yeah, they play there.
Okay.
The arena, it's one of the most iconic college basketball arenas, or just arenas, period, in the country. The court is not as the stadium is built. It's the court sits vertical compared to the arena, which is horizontal. It's very cool.
Okay. I'm just
wondering.
I don't know that would move the needle for me.
I'm just saying.
I also haven't been to like the park in Brooklyn that they play in He Got Game, and I still like the movie. I don't know that,
at a Rucker Park?
You know, I don't know that.
See, I would have thought you'd been to Rucker Park, Cody. You know?
No. I have. Yeah, I tried to ball up. I'm next!
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Could you imagine?
I just want a video crew following you around on that one.
That would be outstanding.
I try to stay on the court at Rucker Park. The embarrassment level. I'd just be getting fried every...
They wouldn't even let you on the court.
No, they wouldn't.
You wouldn't be allowed on the court. Let's be real.
Right. They'd watch me dribble the ball like three times. They'd be like,
you wouldn't even be on the
court.
No
chance, man. We're sorry.
This just wouldn't happen. Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get to who has had the more encouraging start between a pair of Royals players. But today in the NFL, it's been all about rule changes. The one that has gotten the most attention, they have tabled, and that is a decision on the tush push. So there's a chance, it doesn't mean it will, there's a chance in May at the next meeting that the owners and the competition committee, they could all vote on this again, but they never voted on the tush push ban. The thought is that Green Bay is going to tweak some of the language in it, that maybe that helps get it pushed across the finish line, if you will, to ban it. But Pete Traeger put out a tweet earlier, and he said, like, he's covered the league for a while. This issue, the tush push, people are as passionate about this as he's seen for any rule change before, and that people have kind of dug their heels in. There are people trying to convince somebody to flip their vote if there was an actual vote kind of thing going on. And there's a lot of politics behind the scenes, it sounds like, for this tush push.
Sounds like they got about half the people on board, but they want to make it more generic, not specifically about it's just the tush push.
Yeah, and they probably want to do that for the optics so it doesn't feel like they're just trying to hurt the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Because that's the team that we all know has benefited from it and has taken advantage of it, to their credit. Jalen Hurts is great at it, and that whole entire offensive line. Yeah, and not even close. And the coaches have all handled it in different ways. There's been some coaches that have flat out said they don't like the play. There's been a few others in their league that publicly said they're worried about the injury risk, even though there's no injury data yet. Andy Reid has kind of played both sides of it, which is smart, I guess, and not surprising in terms of not trying to, that way.
I guarantee you if they had enough votes to get rid of it, he'd be like, okay.
I don't know, man.
Don't you think?
I don't know.
I mean,
up to Clark Hunt, though, right? I mean, that's ultimately who's voting on
this. You want to talk about a person who should want it other than the NFC teams in which they are competing against. Yeah, but I'm sure he listens to Andy on that. Other than the teams they're directly competing against, like in their division, I would just tell you that the way that the setup is across the board, Andy Reid should be the next person on board. You know why? Because Andy Reid doesn't in any way, offer up an opportunity to QB sneak in any condition. So, like,
yeah, the QB sneak is legal. I mean, they're not getting rid of the QB sneak. They're just getting rid of possibly getting rid of pushing the player from behind.
When this rule was, like, I remember, like, it was a bigger thing in college at the time because they were talking about with the Reggie Bush play and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me that it is okay. Like, that is a fair play. By that same standard, you know that I can't, right? Like, I was trying to look it up, and I think it's against the rules. I can't push Chris Jones in the back. I can't just line up three players behind Chris Jones to shove him forward to shove into the line. Why is it only one-sided? Look, the part of the play, I just get rid of it. If it's controversial enough and nobody thinks it's an attractive play, well, then just get rid of it. Like, I understand that it helps the Philadelphia Eagles. It's only going to help them as far as Jalen Hurts goes. Other teams in the league use it effectively, just not as effectively as them. If you don't want people pushing, just get rid of all pushing, pulling activity and, you know, ban it.
So my thing has been, I also wouldn't mind it being banned because I think it's a boring play. I think it's awful to watch. It's boring. I don't know anybody that actually enjoys watching that play.
No, not like
a rugby scrum. Now, what you said there, I think I've seen this as well. Ross Tucker, who's joined us before on the show throughout football season, or Odyssey NFL Insider, he pushed back on it because people have responded, like what you said, which is, well, the defense can't push players. Why can I? He responded. I'm just basing off his answer.
Okay.
He played the game.
That's a guy who's been on the show a lot with us.
And
sure.
Someone responded the same way that the same statement you made. The defense can't push their players, so neither should the offense. Ross Tucker responded and said, this is false. Defensive players can push except for a scrimmage kick for field goal and extra points.
Okay, so they can't push.
So he's saying, no, this is not
about
that.
Nobody's tried that yet. Here's the problem I have with it, is that it feels like targeting. The issue is that more than any other rule change that has happened, in which a team felt like they were burned, but it applies across the board, right? Let's take the Bills example. They didn't like that they didn't get the ball in overtime, but the rule wasn't fixing it for them. It was fixing it for anybody in the league who has gone to an overtime and didn't get to possess the ball. They're calling for it because they're mad it happened to them, but it does equally affect every team in the league unilaterally. It doesn't pick one team to pick on. It doesn't help one team more or less. It is a rule that impacts every team equally. If you get rid of the tush push, you are specifically targeting one team from doing a good job. Now, I'll say, leagues have done this before. Leagues have done this all the time. This is why goaltending or a million other rules have existed in sports. Because one team started figuring out that they could just goaltend. And they're like, well, you can't do that anymore. And it's not that the rest of the league can't take advantage or do the play the way the Eagles do. They're just better at it than everybody. It feels a little too targeted.
Well, for now, it's not banned. They did not even take a vote on it. They didn't have the votes for it. So there's another owners meeting in May. And maybe they bring it to a vote, or we could also find out that they tabled it again then. And then there's another season where it takes place, and we'll see. But that was the big center, the center of all the attention, I should say, for the NFL owners meeting. There were some other rule changes we mentioned already, like the touchback being moved back to the 35 or up to the 35. That passed. Some of the overtime rules changed where you're going to have both teams getting possession in regular season games on a 10-minute clock. So there's a couple of things that did actually pass. But I want to talk some Royals baseball. The Royals are back at it again tonight right here on 96.5 The Fan. They're going for their third win, trying to go above 500 for the first time in 2025.
All right!
That's what they're trying to do tonight.
Tied for first place
that's
in the division.
Right. That's right.
Four games in.
That's right.
It's always so weird to talk about a team four games in.
Michael Lorenzen is on the bump. But if we look at encouraging pieces four games in to the season, who had the more encouraging start, Mikel Garcia or Jonathan India? I think the answer is Garcia for the simple
India's
fact that
India's had a great start.
And India's been great, yes. But you expected it. You traded for him. He's your leadoff hitter. He had some of the most walks in baseball last year.
A rotation piece.
He's living up to it. Mikel Garcia wasn't talked about as much in spring. In fact, maybe his playing time would go down, and he's played in every game. He wasn't the opening day starter, but he's played third base, center field. He's played second base a little bit already to start this season. He's got two home runs already. He's making things happen when he's on the field and has been really effective to his credit in a year where he probably, you know, is playing for his playing time, truly, based on his own performance. He's not guaranteed anything the way maybe he was last year, where they gave him every opportunity to lead off and things like that. The more encouraging start is Mikel Garcia. I kind of expected this from Jonathan India.
You and I both said, and I think the reason why we both answer Mikel, even though I want to talk about India for a minute here in just a second, but the reason why I think both of our answer is Mikel Garcia is, you and I did an exercise before this started, and before the season started, and we had said, hey, who do we think gets the least amount of playing time between Michael Massey, Mikel Garcia, MJ Melendez? And at the end of the year, we all ranked, you and I, we both ranked, we thought Mikel Garcia would get the least amount of playing time based on the way they're starting. Boy, if it doesn't feel like MJ is the answer to that four games. And now it's four games, and he's been bad. Bad, bad. He got a single yesterday, so maybe things will feel better. He looks like he's guessing, honestly. It doesn't look comfortable.
It's not pretty at the plate, yeah.
And so, but Mikel Garcia, when we spent all that time in spring training talking about Massey in left field, India in left field, Massey and India at third, all this stuff, and I'm like, I did not take it seriously enough that Mikel Garcia has fully transformed by the Royal standards, and they're going to try to use him this way, as a full-time super utility. He has played in a game so far this season, four games in, third base, left field, center field. Like, he's already played, like, and who's to say they won't stick him out in right or something crazy down the road. And he's hitting confidently, and there's no pressure on him. And it's only four games. And I'm not here to tell you that, like, this is going to continue.
Because Mikel Garcia had stretches last year before and after your song. Before and after.
He hit really well in the month of May, as I recall. When I said he hit 300 May, he hit like 297. But he had a really good month of May. It's not to say he can't have a stretch. He just still has so much potential as a regular contributor. He's got some speed. He can play some defense. He can hit for some good contact at times. And so if they're going to use him in this role, Gold, and he's going to be effective, it strengthens their lineup significantly. India has been, like, very rarely, we talk about this all the time, this happened with, like when you signed Joe Tooney. Very, very rarely in sports do you get exactly what you paid for. You gave up the number 3 to 4 starter in your rotation because you desperately needed a guy who could get on base, be smart about getting on base, take super long at-bats in front of Bobby Wood Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez. You bought him specifically for that. You gave up a valuable piece, a serious commodity, so that you could hold that. And for four games, you have gotten exactly what you paid for. It's great.
The graphic on the TV side that they put up on FanDuel Sports Network yesterday, and Ryan LaFever had him put it up twice. That's how amazing the stat was. Jonathan India has been on base 3 times in 3 straight games. Okay. The Royals, according to the TV crew, they only did that 14 times all of last year.
And the entire roster, not one player, everybody.
The whole roster, 162 games. Jonathan India has already done it 3 times on his own, 4 games in. That's why you trade for him. That's why you were willing to give up somebody like Brady Singer, who, to his credit, Brady Singer had a great debut for the Reds. But Chris Bubich, who takes the spot of Brady Singer, had a great debut of 2025 as well. So we'll see how this plays out as the year goes on. But you know, Brady can look great. Jonathan India is doing exactly what you thought he could do too.
People get what they want out of the trade. There's no harm in that. Bubich, the guy we talked about earlier in the game, is part of the reason they were willing to let Brady Singer go. They also knew they had enough pitching, especially once they brought Waka back. They didn't have anybody who gets on base the way he gets on base. The second most professional at bat on the team is probably Vinny or Bobby. Bobby is just like, he's just an all world talent. So he's not even the most patient hitter on the team. It doesn't matter because he's just so good. He doesn't have to be as patient as some of the other guys have to be. He can just attack pitches. He's great at attacking pitches. Vinny gives you a lot of those really high quality professional at bats. Every at-bat for Jonathan India feels like he's getting ready to hit a single or take a walk after 12 pitches. And I know that that's not been what it has, but they so needed that in an order. Because remember, Mikel Garcia led off for this team last year. Tommy Pham led off for this team last year. Michael
Adam
Massey.
Frazier, I think I wanted
Adam
to.
Frazier.
If I'm not mistaken.
They don't even question it. You know every day, Gold, when they go to the ballpark, Jonathan India will hit second. Bobby Witt Jr. will hit first. Bobby Jr. hit second. Vinny Pasquantino hit third. And Salvador Perez will hit fourth. Like, you don't, that's not like a, I wonder who will hit leadoff today. It's India. You know, like, to know that brings you some confidence. I've been very impressed with both. Honestly, the pitching staff, Bubich is probably the answer. Estevez has looked pretty good.
He has. And Michael Lorenzen tonight.
Daniel Lynch.
Michael Lorenzen, this will be his first outing of the year, but he was effective from the minute they traded for him a year ago. He got hurt briefly.
I'll
always remember when he got hurt because we were driving to Jefferson's for our fantasy football guillotine league draft with our listeners. And the weather, it was like a complete downpour that night. And I was listening to the game on the station. And then Michael Lorenzen and it got hurt in that particular game. And we found out, I think he only had a short stint, right, on the IL or whatever it was. But that's why I'll never forget that one. But he was good last year. Can he provide? I mean, he's a fifth starter, so let's have reasonable expectation, okay?
I'll take 6 innings, 4 runs.
If we were to look it up, what do you think like the average ERA for a fifth starter in Major League Baseball was in 2024?
5.5? Between five and a quarter, maybe a little bit more?
Exactly. So let's just have reasonable expectations. I'm not saying you should be fine with him giving up 6 runs. Of course not. But like tonight, if he goes 5 1/3 and gives up 4 runs, that's like, it's not that crazy for a fifth starter. That's all I'm saying.
I wonder what the fifth starter for the Dodgers got last year. What do you think? Like a 198?
I don't know. The Dodgers had a bunch of different pitchers going in.
Didn't they have a lot of injuries with pitching?
The average ERA for this is, if you want to believe Google AI, okay, so bear with me. I'll admit, this one was a quick Google search. I didn't go on to Baseball Reference. In 2024, the average ERA for the fifth starter they claim was 3.89. That seems a little high, but okay. The
average, that's Google AI's got to be
that's way off.
That's higher than the Major League average ERA.
Yeah, that's,
or lower than the Major League average.
The average ERA was 4.7. So
this who had the best rotation in baseball last year? The Mariners?
I don't know. I mean...
Because here's a good, like, because I just looked up the ERA for the two guys who pitched the fourth and fifth most for the Dodgers last year in the starters. And they had a 4.38 and a 5.12 ERA. Those guys pitched the fourth and fifth most out of starts, 16 and 18 starts, respectively, for that team. Last year for the Mariners, who I think had the single best, they had the lowest ERA in baseball, so I mentioned it. Their fifth starter had a 4 in run average. And they had the best rotation in baseball. Five and a half.
That's what I was like, that Google AI had to be way off.
Really good rotation. Your guys probably got a 4.98 in the fifth starter spot.
Someone said they were confused with the Jonathan India stat. I took a picture of the graphic on TV for this very reason. So this was the stat again. Jonathan India, according to the FanDuel TV broadcast yesterday, reached safely 3 times in 3 straight games. KC leadoff hitters in 2024. That was the part.
It's a lot of different guys.
KC leadoff in 2024 reached 3+ times in 14 games. That's the stat.
Not even in 3 consecutive games. Yeah, he just reached 3
or from the
more
leadoff
times.
Spot.
Yeah. He's done it 3 times already this season. Leadoff hitters for the Royals did it 14 times all of last year.
Yep.
I don't know where the Royals are in runs per game after the offense explosion yesterday.
No.
We'll pay way more attention to run differential when you get about all-star break.
All right, we'll get to what's trending in 10 minutes. We'll also talk more about the torpedo bat that continues to be a hot topic in Major League Baseball. Someone on the text line said Mikel Garcia needs one. I don't think he needs one. He doesn't need a torpedo.
He ripped a homer yesterday. What are we talking about?
Yeah, the Brewers pitching just stinks. So, away from baseball briefly, one thing that I know we recognize the NFL is all about, that's TV ratings. It's pleasing their TV partners who are paying them billions of dollars. We get it. I understand it. But this latest tweak is about as bad as it gets for a fan that wants to go on a road trip to watch the Chiefs. About as bad as it gets if you're a Chiefs fan that maybe has plans for a Sunday noon kick and then all of a sudden you can't take off work on a Thursday. The NFL now is going to allow Sunday games to get flexed to Thursday night football with 21-day notice. Last year, they had a temporary rule that allowed 28-day notice, and it only happened one time last year because 28 days out is really tough to plan for predicting who's going to be good or key matchup, etc. Tom Pelissero says the NFL is going to allow Sunday games to get flexed to Thursday night with 21-day notice. If you're someone like myself and others that have a group of friends or family that like to plan out your Chiefs football schedule, you know, you want to go to the game in Nashville, or a couple of years ago, I went with some friends to the game at Green Bay. We booked our flights, We booked our hotel and stuff months before, but maybe you're flying, in this hypothetical. And you probably aren't waiting until 21 days out to book your flight. Most people don't do that. So,
I mean, it's way more expensive to
so
do that.
So now you have to either be willing to pivot or wait on your travel plans. If you're a season ticket holder or someone that just wants to go to a Chiefs game and you think it's a Sunday 3 o'clock kickoff or noon kickoff, all of a sudden it's Thursday night. Well, you mentioned the example. Maybe your kids are in school. Maybe you can't get off work.
On Sunday, but you don't work on Thursday.
What if you're a Chiefs fan that lives 3 hours away in middle of Kansas or whatever?
It affects a huge chunk of
the fans. And now you got to cancel your plans and all that. So this stinks for the fan in particular that goes to games.
This is a pure and simple money grab. Like, if you're trying to shake it any other way, there's no real way to do it. They don't care. It's about money. They know that by Amazon Prime is paying them a huge amount of money, a crazy amount for Thursday Night Football. And so because of that, Amazon's like, hey, we'd like a couple occasional decent games. Don't really want to roll into Giants-Browns in week 11. We'd like a little flexibility here. And they're worried because there was a flex last year. They flexed one and the starting quarterback got hurt. And, inside of 3 weeks, you got a better statistical likelihood that matchup
how often do you
will
think
matter, but not zero. I still only think it's going to be a couple times a year. The only argument I'll make is it's probably going to be a couple times a year, which means at most, I think it'll affect 4 fan bases. So 4 fan bases once a year are kind of getting screwed by this. And some of those people won't have a hard time adjusting their schedule. Like in my case, it's not going to have a massive impact on my schedule unless, like you said, you're planning on taking a trip out of town in order to attend a game. So like in your case, what would you do? You booked a hotel for Friday through Sunday. They flex it 3 weeks out for a Thursday night football game. Just try to get there early.
I'll use this year's example. My friends and I, we've been talking about Nashville, right? Fun city to go to. We don't know when the Chiefs are playing the Titans yet, but let's say in this scenario, the Chiefs are playing week 10.
And then it turns out the Titans are good because they take Cam Ward and they're fun.
Right. It's Chiefs Titans and it's week 8 in Nashville. And we already plan to either fly or drive to Nashville on a Friday. And we have a hotel through Sunday. And we're planning to leave on Monday. But now that game is moved up. And this game has moved up 3 or 4 days. So now I'm like, oh, are we taking off work Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday now? And for our job,
I'll be back on Monday, I guess. But.
You know, but for us, like, look, obviously we would normally be on the show. So maybe I'm not able to pull that off or pick any job you have. So that's
easier in our job than most other people's jobs who have like an office work or anything else.
So yeah, I don't like it at all. I hope you're right that it's a very few teams that are impacted because of the time frame. Like nobody's going to flex a Sunday game to Thursday in week 6 of the season because 21 days, you'd have to make a decision by week 2 or whatever of the season. Mm-hmm. So it's just more of a November, December, January kind of thing.
I mean, it had to be like both starting quarterbacks got hurt from a team in week 4 for you to be flexing it out that
most
quick.
Most likely.
It's borderline mid-season or later is probably the only realistic timetable you're doing. Look, it's a money grab. I don't have like a way to sweeten the pot or to mention that like, well, I understand with you. No, they're doing this to make sure that Amazon Prime continues to pay that big check for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, they're helping Amazon.
And continues to pay that check for the Christmas Day game that they'll be getting this year in addition to the two other Netflix games. Because by the way, that doesn't serve anybody either. All the families are the people who have to work. All the players are the families who have to work on Christmas Day. Now, 6 teams have to be working on Christmas Day. All the people who work for those organizations, work in those stadiums, work like they're ruining Christmas for like a bunch of people just to squeeze a couple more dollars out of Netflix. The NFL's not doing you any favors here. And I guess, until further notice, they're probably not going to.
I just hopefully it doesn't come into play. But I'm like, man, as knowing how many of you guys listen, like to go on road trips or just, you know, you're trying to plan your fall. There's so many Chiefs fans. Once this schedule comes out in May, that you look at that schedule, you know the opponents, and you like to map out your fall. Find out what games can you go to. Or even if you're not going to the games, you're still trying to figure it out around your kids' soccer schedule. Is this a game we know we're going to be able to watch? We want to have a party and from friends over. And like, there's a lot of people build their fall around football. Yeah. They just do.
Yeah, or like, because it applies on the other end too. Like my kid's got a dance comp again this weekend. She dances on Sunday. Let's just say the Chiefs are playing on Thursday night. No problem, right? Gold, I'm free. We can go to the game on Thursday night. We have our tickets. We're ready to go. We're set weeks in advance. And then they're like, now the game's on Sunday night. Now I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
Now the plans are changed. Now it doesn't work inside our schedule. They're going to screw a lot of people over with it. There's no doubt.
All right, up next, let's get to what's trending, get you caught up on what's going around in the sports world, and also the future idea around the torpedo bat from a former Royal. That's next.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, of course, the Royals improved to 2-2, got the win last night.
Easy win.
And they're back at it this evening in Milwaukee. Michael Lorenzen on the bump, 6:40, first pitch, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show begins at 5:30. Yeah, right here.
Drive will take you up that rest of the way, getting you ready for it. But yeah, some Royals baseball tonight. Royals day game tomorrow is a heads up. Next up on What's Trending, NFL rule changes approved today. They've extended overtime that both teams will get a possession, but only 10 minutes total in the overtime period. They've expanded replay assists, and touchbacks have been moved to the 35-yard line. They have tabled the tush-push conversation until a later date.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, some college basketball news. Not an April Fool's joke. This did happen. It's been reported by multiple sources now out there that Maryland basketball has found its next head coach. The Maryland Terrapins have hired away Texas A&M head coach Buzz Williams to fill the role that was vacated by the weird press conference that Kevin Willard had prior to departing for Villanova. Buzz Williams, 373-228 record, including stops at New Orleans, Marquette, Va Tech before between 2010 and 2013. Remember, he had a lot of success at Marquette. A little surprised by this. You leave the SEC, the best conference in basketball this past year to go to Maryland. Maybe you feel that there's more of a incentive.
More opportunity. I think the NIL's kind of changed this too a little bit.
A&M's a football school. Like Texas A&M is a football school. Maryland's more of a basketball school. Maybe that's what it is.
Next up on What's Trending, Olivia Miles, the number two projected overall pick in the WNBA draft. She's not going to the WNBA draft. She'll forego it and instead enter the transfer portal in the NCAA women's side of things. She's expected to get multiple millions of dollars by making this move. Big waves in the WNBA / NCAA women's league yesterday. Because again, if you're going to be the number two overall pick, people expect you to go to the WNBA, but she's going to stay in college.
All about the money. Hard to fault. I mean, $75,000 salary compared to making $1.5 million maybe on, on a school next year. And she can still, if she stays healthy, she can go to WNBA a year later.
She'll be the number two or number one overall pick next year in the WNBA.
I'm going to be that guy. Plus, she gets her degree. She gets
that's right. That's right, Drew. You're right. You know what?
Most
that's
of them don't go pro. They'll go pro in something else.
Yeah, that's right.
She gets the degree and everything. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, she gets to get paid $1.5 million to stay in college. That does not sound like worst thing of all time.
Definitely. All right. Elsewhere, Garrett Crochet, one of the big signings in the offseason for the Boston Red Sox. Big trade, I should say, for the Boston Red Sox. Signed a six-year, $160 million extension. They bought out a couple years there. They had a huge offseason anyway with Crochet and Alex Bregman, but now they guarantee some stability with Crochet in that starting rotation.
And real quick, lastly, if you missed it for some reason, early afternoon yesterday, I just want to mention this show because we didn't get to a topic. Jerks and Profar has been suspended 80 games for PEDs in Major League Baseball. Obviously, currently a member of the Atlanta Braves. A huge fan target want for the Royals. It was just one of those yesterday. I was like, phew, glad they didn't, because I was also interested in Jerks and Profar.
Yeah.
Phew. Wow. Well, I didn't sign that guy. Man. He immediately got busted for PEDs.
If you're the Braves, you know how ticked off you are. You gave this guy a multi-year deal, good chunk of money, and he got caught with a masking agent. Usually you take that if you're coming off of a cycle. So meaning he was taking some PEDs.
Probably last year that got him.
Yeah, and then he was on a masking agent, which is it's no different than getting testing positive for the steroid. They know you were masking something, and it's like, the Royals avoided one there. I'll tell you what. Could you imagine?
Well, he could just gotten a torpedo bat. Saved himself all the trouble instead of using steroids, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have been pissed if the Royals... They had one guy suspended once, Melky Cabrera, but that was after he left here. He was probably on steroids when he was here, but he left.
I think they had a minor leaguer at one point, you know.
And technically, Adalberto Mondesi got suspended for it.
The cough medicine thing.
But got it severely reduced because they believed the Dominican Republic cough medicine story, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had it reduced pretty significantly.
Yeah. That's what's trending. You brought up torpedo bat.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a minute. The text line did quickly ask. I don't have much. From the 913, the text line did ask for a Desmond update. Bad news in the sense that I don't have much of an update. Desmond was on spring break last week. So there was, they didn't get to spend, they kept trying to find each other on the school iPads, which was proving problematic. On Mondays, he goes to his different program. So him and his lady friend don't get to spend as much time together as normal. So I hope to have an update for you tomorrow. They will spend a full day at school today. I do not know if their relationship lasted through spring break. He did not bring it up after school yesterday. So spring break. Well, again, he was at his other program. He spends time at a completely different school on Mondays. They spend very little time together on Mondays. So like they had all of spring break.
The real test of a relationship they're going through right now.
Distance, long distance, practically by kindergarten.
Nobody knows the entire schedule. Well, on Mondays, sorry, but Desmond's booked, you know. He's busy. Mm. I'm looking forward to these updates. I'm as invested as everybody on the text line is at this point.
I don't know what's going to happen next. It's just it's a wait and see situation. I told you last week.
Has there not been when's the school carnival stuff? Was that in the fall? They had one in the spring?
We missed
it. I'm trying to figure out when you can be there with Desmond. You meet her parents.
Okay, so there's a couple of opportunities coming up. One is in about 4 weeks when Desmond has his kindergarten music concert.
Okay, and they're both in it. They're both in it, obviously.
They're obviously in the same class. They will be standing near each other.
Perfect.
Big opportunity. And then somewhere around that early May period, there's usually, the spring carnival for the school. We have not really received a flyer for that yet, but normally in that late April, early May.
The meeting with the parents goes, like the first time you meet them.
Oh, fascinated. More than fascinated to find out how that goes.
Do you think they think it's as funny as you do in humor, or do you think they're like... All right.
That's, honestly, that's hard to say. Desmond expressed some concern over the length, like over if their relationship could continue to last, because he claimed she was lying to her parents about boyfriend and girlfriend stuff. And he said, you can't lie to your parents. So
has so Desmond
and he was
hasn't.
Worried about the honor in it, you know?
So Desmond's never met her parents. I'm waiting for the, I'm waiting for him to
Desmond
come home.
Desmond has not met her parents.
I'm waiting for him to come home today and say, she wants me to meet her parents.
Oh man. I don't know. Oh, you know what? I have a chance to spend a little, the way the schedule works for my daughter's dance. So Friday, I won't be on the show. My daughter's in another dance competition.
Yeah, Bink will be in Friday.
But the way
us.
The schedule works for the dance, when I have to get her there, I'm going to pull him early from school on Friday so he can go watch his sister dance. But he has the earliest conceivable lunchtime. So I'm going to have lunch with him. I'm going to bring him lunch to school because he likes it when we do that. And then we're all going to go to the dance contest together. So I will probably have
you
a little interaction with her on Friday.
Could be there during the lunch. Maybe
he says they sit next to each other at lunch every day.
Do you need to bring lunch for both of them?
I think you should.
I mean, I can't. I don't you think can't I'm, do that. I'm actually legally not allowed to be bringing food for other people's
kids. You
can't.
Yeah, that'd be a problem. I could see that.
In the 90s, you could probably do that. They're not even allowed to, like, every once in a while I'll ask Desmond, I was like, well, if you don't, did you share? He's like, we're not allowed to share. Like, whoa, you can't be sharing food at lunch. And when we were kids, nobody cared about that. If you traded a lunch item with a kid, nobody was here
so
to
wait,
tell
hold on,
you.
So wait, hold on. They're not allowed to trade lunch?
No.
So let's say you packed lunch in it. You packed a regular bag of Lay's and another kid has Doritos and one kid doesn't like Doritos.
You can't switch.
Oh my
god. Now look, could you do it in the teacher not notice? Sure.
Yeah,
but
that's what I'm saying.
It is against the policy. So no, I'm not allowed to bring her food.
I guess the concern is if you made a homemade sandwich or something and it had something in it, the other kids' parents said, no.
Allergies, the other kids' allergies.
People
are all more sensitive about that. You just ate your peanut butter sandwich right next to Billy who might need an EpiPen.
We didn't have allergies. We didn't have allergies in kindergarten. We didn't have them. We just didn't have them.
It wasn't a problem for anybody.
We just didn't have them.
We just ate whatever the hell snacks we wanted, food we wanted, near anybody we wanted. Nobody ever had a complaint, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right. Torpedo bats.
Yeah.
The hottest topic in sports.
I found a very fascinating point from one former Royal, Eric Hosmer, on this exact subject, in which I think that this could be a true, like we don't, I'll just say in sports generally, true evolutions, as in like fundamentally changing the way a sport is played, does not happen very often. It happens, but it is rare. This would be one of those that would kind of change even more how baseball's approached. He is suggesting that what might happen with the next evolution of the torpedo bat is not that everyone will just start using these, but that the math and the analytics behind it is that depending on the pitch shape, pitch type, where this pitcher typically pitches you, that what this could turn into is a golf caddy situation.
So Hosmer thinks
it's going
to be that.
I got my bag of bats, and it's a golf caddy situation. All right. I know that I'm 130 out. I know what that club is for me. I know that it's two outs. I know this guy pitches with two outs. I know he pitches inside. I know the spin rate on his curveball. They already know all that information. And now I'm just going into the bag to choose the stick that is right for this situation. And that the evolution of this is not that everyone uses the torpedo bat all the time, but that it is situational bat usage. Doesn't that sound kind of fascinating to you that it would switch to that? This idea that you would like pick and choose different weight, different options for the same reason a guy might occasionally choke up on someone's bigger bat on a, you know, if there's breaks or whatever. Someone's saying it might be harder, but if baseball gave you enough approval to have so many bats at the game, what's the difference?
So I think you get two. So I'm fascinated by this from Haas on his podcast and everything. I think we're going to all learn more and more throughout the season if this is just a fun thing early on in the year, or is this really something that's going to be utilized? Because it's still four games in. I think, though, the idea of having like a caddy in the dugout and switching bats, different at bats and things like that's a bit much. And I know baseball is overanalyzed already and overthought already. This seems like even more of that overthinking. You got a player that's in the middle of an 0 for 18. Now you got him overthinking. Did I use the wrong bat that at bat? Oh gosh, I got to switch to this different at bat. I mean, I'm just imagining like it's in the middle of an at bat. Are you allowed to switch bats? It's a 3-2 count, and all of a sudden you're switching away from the torpedo bat.
I bet that's against the rules unless your bat broke, you know?
Yeah, because otherwise that's crazy. In-game switching of the bat that you're using.
Pitcher per pitcher? Is that crazy?
I guess we could. Look, that would fit where baseball is at, which is, I think, overthinking the hell out of the sport.
It's hard, dude. 90, hit 97. You got to take any advantage you can.
I get it. But just like now, this is going to be the next adjustment we're going to have. This is the next big adjustment. We're now going to have each at bat, if you know the starter, you're going to use this bat, and then once the reliever comes in, you're going to switch to a different bat. Okay, I think that's a lot of overthinking.
I here's the problem. So like Vern has mentioned this to us about Michael Massey, is that he's a bit of a like an overthinker, because there is an endless lake of information available to you. This is where I'm talking about, like, a baseball team would actually be wise to hire a guy. Drew, I mean, you know the golf reference. To hire a guy just like that. He is the dugout caddy. His job is to know, like, yeah. You don't need to study the scouting reports on which bat's good for this person. That's his job. He's the dugout caddy. His job is to be like, hey, man, and look, he doesn't have to choose your club. Same thing, right? Scotty Scheffler's guy says, hey, man, I'd use a set. I'd choke up on a seven here and hit it in. He's like, I'm going to use the eight. Thanks, kid. He doesn't have to take the caddy's advice.
Hey, the wind's blowing a little bit harder.
Yeah,
this way,
the wind's blowing out to left.
I think you want an extra club. This,
I kind of am intrigued by the idea that, like, so a baseball caddy of a guy who's like trying to choose the right bat for the situation.
Again, I'm fascinated by the idea and the thought. I don't like it for the sport, but I get the thought process behind why I keep this. But I'm just imagining Vern's post-game show. Somebody calls in, upset.
Can't believe he didn't switch bats or did switch
bats. Vern, can you believe that the caddy told him to use this bat and he should have stuck with the bat? He was already... That conversation will be hilarious. I can picture it now.
We didn't talk about it yesterday. Do you guys think we will see a Royals player use a torpedo bat this season?
Yes, somebody will.
Sometime in the next couple of weeks?
I don't know. This season, yes.
Did Ellie De La Cruz hit two home runs last night, and it was made aware that he was using the torpedo bat. Was that a switch? Did he switch to it and then slug two homers? Because that's going to be impossible to ignore, and he's a really talented player. So, like, I guess the question I'm asking is, did we find out whether or not he...
It was the first time.
Oh, my God.
Two home runs, seven RBIs.
This bat's a joke!
Now, in fairness, they also scored 14 runs anyway, so they just beat up on Kumar Rocker, who was the starting pitcher for the Rangers. Okay. He sucked yesterday.
So everyone hammered him, kind of like the Brewers thing. We're going to need a larger sample size to truly know. But the fact that he switched to the torpedo bat, immediately went 4-for-5 with two home runs, seven RBIs, and four runs scored. They scored 14 runs because he single-handedly scored half of them. The guy using a torpedo bat for the first game, I honestly think... I wouldn't be surprised to find out they put out a lineup here in the next 30 minutes, and MJ Melendez uses one tonight.
Yeah,
he's swinging and missing. He's not making contact.
I'm not anti-torpedo bat. I don't know if I like the idea that now we're going to talk about what Haas would say, which is in the middle of games, we're going to now have just like this switching of bats and like becomes a true like batter, you know, at bat by at bat kind of thing. I don't know if I like that.
But the strategy part of it. And there's a lot of dead time in baseball, so you something to talk about.
I think we already talk about like the mental side of the game, and we'll just use MJ Melendez because he's obviously someone that has struggled at times here in a Royals uniform, and right now he's not off to a great start. The last thing we want to now overcomplicate and get him now. Not only did he switch his stance and everything, now we're gonna say, hey, dude, why don't you try switching your bat and doing this and that? I think you're asking, you're gonna overthink it and just cause somebody to go crazy.
Getting a lot of people in the text line. Some over on YouTube said that they don't let you bring lunch to your kid at all in elementary school. Another one said on the Kansas side that they put you in a separate room. You're like in an isolated area.
Visitation room? Like you're going to put someone in prison?
No. I just wouldn't go if that's the case. Sounds depressing.
So we had a similar situation at our elementary school. However, normally if my mom brought lunch, it would be a group thing, like, hey, I'll bring some Subway sandwiches, and you and a few of your friends can go.
Yeah,
and
I've
it was
seen
no
that
problem,
back
you know?
Then.
That was more of the line.
Not anymore, huh? Not anymore. That's done.
Apparently not.
Come on.
Based on what Cody said.
Like, I understand protections and all that. Like, do we have to take everything out of childhood this enjoyable way? Do you know how happy you were when your mom popped by with a Happy Meal goal when you were in elementary school?
Of course.
Let you eat a cheeseburger and some French fries in front of your friends. You felt like a king for 25 clean minutes. Do we have to strip kids of that? Come
I guess
on.
So.
I promise
so.
I won't give the kid who sits next to my kid a French fry or whatever, okay? I promise. I won't, whatever you need to put safeguards in place, let them enjoy this moment.
I guess.
Like, I know there's probably some people wouldn't like pull their kid out of school to go watch their sister dance, but screw it. I mean, they'll be fine. Yeah. Like, it's going to be okay that this is the circumstance. I can't believe they put separate room. Wouldn't that feel worse than just not going at all? You're like an isolation booth?
No, I'm going to ask my sister now. I'll text her later on. She teaches.
I'm kind of curious. She teaches elementary school.
Yeah, she teaches on the Kansas side.
You go off and eat lunch and your friends know what's going on. You walk back into the classroom. Everybody's giving you like a death stare.
I don't even have to warn them. I don't have to like tell them ahead of time. This is all because I sign in. I get my sticker. You got to like pass background checks or whatever they make you do to originally get in the system.
All because of like peanut allergies. And gluten allergies.
I guess. So
do they not have like?
They have separate tables for the kids who have peanut stuff in their food. Well, like you just got to go sit at a different lunch table.
So if you have like a pizza party, like a Christmas party, I would assume that you know that's
parents don't go to
things?
That stuff anymore, man. My kids do not have kid classroom parties that we are invited to.
Oh my!
There was one I think when my daughter was kindergarten, and there hasn't been a single classroom party I've been invited to since. Like, I just don't think they're a thing. I think they're just like, here's the things they need.
Oh,
and then that's just kind of the end. I think classroom parties have also died, I'm afraid.
My kids,
for Valentine's Day, can't even give out candy to the other kids on a Valentine. They could give out, like, an eraser, I think. You know, they can do, like, one of the trinket ones, but they can't. No candy. Jeez. Which is kind of a bummer. And they don't, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they make Valentine's Day boxes. You guys do those? When you were kids?
Yeah.
As a kid, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think you do it now. Yeah. We should actually bring it back at the station. We do Valentine's with candy for everyone in the building.
Yeah.
We used to end class, I think, an extra like 10 to 15 minutes early. And if you had a Valentine for somebody that was in a different class,
you
got to go and give your Valentine to them. Yeah.
That's right.
Someone says it's an equity thing, you know, like equality. You want to make sure everyone gets, like, I understand that. But like, also, I got to be honest. To teach kids about inequality pretty quick in life because life ain't equal, and I don't know, you know, like I want my kids to know that.
Here we go. Someone said their kids go to elementary in Shawnee, they have to eat in a separate room. If they go eat with them, they can bring outside food, but they have to be a separate room.
Separate room? That's so weird.
It's the allergy thing, I guess.
I mean, but I could just sit at the peanut table, like they have a separate table for the kids who have peanut butter.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I'm learning so much, man. The final 180 seconds of the show brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Things aren't like they used to. We sound old. Back in our day,
I'm 34. I sound like we're 70 years old.
I'm 29.
I know it.
And I had these things.
Like, I just like... So can't bring in homemade treats. Yeah, homemade treats. Those have died a long time ago.
I get it. Yeah, that's been a thing for a bit. I understand.
That one I actually kind of like. I'm just surprised you cannot just sit in the cafeteria at my kid's school. You can. Yeah. Obviously not at every kid's school, but at my kid's school you can.
We used to have birthday parties where like if it was somebody's birthday and the parents would
bring in cupcakes or whatever.
Can you still bring in
like packaged cupcakes for like your kid's birthday? That's what you're saying. That's out. What do they do for a kid's birthday?
Nothing. They just give them like a little hat that says happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, paper hat that they color.
Wait, you can't.
And my kid, he's a summer birthday, so he just has to do it like the last week of school. By the way, just real quick, since we're on this, what would your advice be? So Desmond's birthday is in August. It's like 2 full weeks before the school year starts. So in order for him to invite friends from school, because we don't have all their numbers, they're in kindergarten, we have to either hand out an invitation at the end of May, in which nobody's ever going to remember or show up to that party, or do you just do the birthday party in September weeks after the fact so that people could get invited? What would you guys do? Just do a smaller group of the kids you already know in August?
I think you do the smaller one, or you would have to say, we'll do the family thing on his birthday, and then you do the friends
mid-September,
one.
Mid-September, you just immediately, like day one of class, you sit him home with an invitation to a party.
Yeah, that's a tough spot.
He's got a weird time.
The challenges of elementary school.
He's got a lot going on, man. He's got a very busy life.
All right. Up next, C-Dot and Rob on the drive tomorrow. We're back at it. Quick show tomorrow because the Royals, for whatever reason, is a day game tomorrow, but I don't know why the Brewers day game is even an hour earlier than it was on opening day on Wednesday. I'm not sure. So we have a weird 1 hour show tomorrow, but we'll be sure to talk a bit more about the Chiefs expanding internationally, including a different country they could be playing a game in as soon as 2027, based on a report. So we'll talk to you guys about that tomorrow.